fans in a lot of ways. I know how they feel. They're great. They're loyal. They want a bang for their buck.
Welcome, everybody, to a special football episode of the Larsh Cast. On this episode, we have Stacey Joe Rost and Jake Heaps from just down the I-5 in Kraken Nation. We're going to go over the early season struggles of the Seahawks and whether Russell Wilson is part of their future. Let's go.
Hold up.
All right, everybody, welcome to a very special episode of the Larsh Cast. And we are here joined by Jake Heaps and Stacey Joe Rost, who's returning to the show of the Jake and Stacey show on 710 ESPN Seattle. First of all, Stacey, welcome back. We missed you.
A long time no talk, you guys. I'm very excited.
We're excited to reconnect with you and you know, have some fun, we'll poke some fun at the Seattle Seahawks, as you know, we like to do a lot. Ryan is not here to save you.
And then only Ryan's on my side.
Yeah, exactly. We kicked him off for this one. No, I'm just kidding. He couldn't make it. And then we're very happy to talk to your co-host here, Jake Heaps, who's also Russell Wilson's quarterback coach. Very excited to talk to you about how Russell's played his last game in Seattle, but we'll get to that. How are you doing, Jake? Welcome to the show.
What's going on, guys? It's good to be here. Excited to join you. Stacey said this was going to be a blast, and I could already tell she delivered on that, which, you know, sometimes you just never know with Stacey. So,
well, let's just start with the dynamic that you guys have, because I love those clips you guys share and how you kind of interact on social and the fun that you guys have with each other. I mean, I follow Stacey and she's always sharing, and ESPN 710 Seattle is always sharing some good, hearty clips. Tell us about how that show came together and the dynamic you guys have with each other and why it's so successful. Stacey, yeah, you can start. I mean, or Jake, go ahead, Jake. Sir.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the biggest thing, Stacey's all getting ready to have great things talked to, you know, said about her. She couldn't be further from the truth. But I think that, you know, honestly, one of the cool things about Stacey and I and our show is that her and I did not grow up in this industry. We did not grow up, you know, really aspiring to be, you know, sports broadcasters. It was something, honestly, in my career that, you know, was a cool thought. Like maybe if I got done, I could be on TV. I'm seeing all these, you know, former athletes make that transition. Maybe it would be something cool, but I really fell in love with coaching, and that's really what I got into. And I started my own business. And then just somehow, some way, I got asked by Brock Huard to fill in for him on the morning show. And then I got hooked and I got roped into it, and 710 kept bringing me back. And then that's when I ran into Stacey, who, you know, was at the time, she was a writer for the station. And you know, they had this idea to put together a former athlete and a sports writer who had a bunch of personality together and see if this thing could work, see if we could even make it in the industry. And I think that's what made it fun for us was that, honestly, we take pride in what we do. We take pride in, you know, our job and delivering the best analysis and all that kind of stuff. But really, I think we kind of looked at each other and just said, hey, if we're going to go down, let's go down our way. Let's go down swinging. Mm-hmm. Let's go down unconventional. Let's have fun. Let's not take ourselves too seriously. And I think that at the end of the day, we just want to be ourselves, and we're not trying to be anybody that's, you know, stuck up and mm-hmm. looking down on other people and, you know, hey, we know more than everybody else. We're, mm-hmm. we're just trying to deliver our thoughts and our analysis and really embrace the side of it that we're just having fun. We just want to kick back, hang out and have fun with everybody. And so far it's worked out for us. I don't know if I missed anything, Stacey, but you know, it's really been fun. It's been a blast.
No, yeah. Jake summed it up perfectly. And I think that, to his point about tone, one of my favorite things about our show, and I'll include Curtis in here, who's our producer, but also our friend. The three of us are really good friends, and is I'm sure something that you guys are familiar with, which is just talking as though if no one was there, this is how we'd be talking to each other. And yeah, you ham it up once in a while, but for the most part, you're just kind of speaking in a way that feels natural. And I find that for Jake and myself, I'm speaking for Jake here, but I think this is true, that for Jake and myself, not either aspiring to be sports radio hosts or coming from that background kind of lends itself to a more natural tone. And it's not that people who are from that background don't sound natural. They quite often like jump right into it and know exactly what to do. Whereas we had a lot of obstacles and learning curves.
A lot of growing moments. That's for sure.
a lot of growing pains. And so there's pros and cons to either, but I think for both of us, there wasn't someone in the way that we thought, I want to sound exactly like this person. Because, you know, Jake's looking at it as he's a former athlete. He's not jumping into it as, you know, someone mm-hmm. where he's looking at, you know, Mike Salk, who's our program director at the time, is from a different background. And obviously for me, there aren't a ton of women in sports radio. So mm-hmm. neither of us had a tone of, I need to sound like this. We just kind of came in as ourselves.
Mm-hmm. So you guys are completely opposite to us, because TJ always tells us that he knows more than the rest of us.
Get out of here.
Show, right?
Can't relate.
I was going to say, Jake mentioned something that was important to me, and Nav just takes it the other way. But no, I thought you said something that was really important in comparison to this market here in Vancouver, where there's obviously a heavy Canucks coverage. I think not talking down to your listeners, I think that's very important. And honestly, that probably is why it encapsulates more listeners, and just to kind of people feel like they're just having a casual conversation when they listen to your show. And that's probably one of the biggest takeaways from what you just said there, because it's a kind of a night and day difference sometimes when you hear people talk about the Canucks, for example, here in this market. So I like mm-hmm. that. I like that a lot.
Yeah, that doesn't mean that we don't get on our listeners, and when they talk crazy and they talk ridiculous, that we don't call them out for it. But I hope, you know, it's received as, you know, when you have a friend that's just talking crazy and you're like, come on, man. Like, what are you talking about? We love Ralph from Bellevue. He's from Crossroads in Washington.
I knew you'd say
him. He called our show and said that Geno Smith was going to show everyone that he was going to be the MVP of the league, that he was being held back.
He said he's going to be Kyler Murray.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And so, you know, on Monday, I came in and said, hey, you know, you saw it. Didn't look anything like that. And what are you people thinking? Right. So, you know, I think that part of it is, it comes down to trust. It comes down to from the jump, who do you want to be and what do you want to be about? And I think there's a way to have a intellectual conversation, a way to approach the audience while being welcoming and welcoming everybody in. And Stacey really opened my eyes to this, to be honest. It's always the approach that I wanted to have in general. It's just kind of who I am as a person. But, you know, Stacey, coming from her background of not growing up in sports and being someone that found a love for sports, mm-hmm. you know, kind of later in life. I don't mean that as Stacey is 80 years old. But, you know, she found a passion for it later on. She got to college and professionally and all that. And nobody works harder than Stacey. Mm-hmm. And part of that is because she's had to, but the other part is, you know, it's endearing to know that there are fans that might be jumping in for the first time into sports radio. They're fans that are just coming into this on Twitter, and they're excited, and they're, you know, and sometimes they're going to have opinions that you disagree with, but, being more welcoming into that space and wanting people to join the conversation rather than, you know, trying to tell everybody how smart you are. I think there's a lot of, insecurity in that, so to speak.
Yeah. Can I tap onto that? There's something that I love about having those conversations. First of all, you don't have to be a former athlete to be able to talk about sports, right?
Not at all.
But one thing I do love is when former athletes who have been around it don't feel the need to like show off, because they're able to simplify it. And they like, so one of my favorite things about both Jake and our colleague, Dave Wyman, is they've both been around sports their entire lives. And not only that, but have been in and around the game and know complicated things and infinitely more than anyone else. And they'll break it down and they'll be like, oh, that doesn't mean anything. Or they'll be like, oh yeah, well that just means this. And I feel like sometimes there's like this one-up contest in sports that happens. It's just like, even within coverage of it, it gets kind of competitive, and it makes you feel sometimes, if you're new to it, like Jake pointed out, on the outside, like you feel like, oh, I'm stupid. I don't quite get that. Oh, yeah. I'm so dumb. I shouldn't chime in about it. And Jake and Wyman are both great about being like, okay, so what happens is when you're here and they, it's not level the
playing
it down,
field
it's,
a bit.
It's leveling the playing field, and I love that.
Yeah. Well, it's funny that you guys are so complimentary to each other right now, because I did ask you guys to send five things about each other that maybe the listeners or people don't know. And it wasn't really complimentary, but we're going to get there. Well, there is like, a little different. But anyways, I like that dynamic that you guys just shared. It shows that there's real love there. Now, before we get to that fun stuff later, Nav, let's just go ahead and ask that question.
Let's get ready with the heat. So me and TJ are honestly, we're the exceptions to the rule in, you know, in BC, at least where we live, is most of the province are Seahawk fans. They love the Seahawks. All my buddies, cousins, they're diehard Seahawk fans. So I made a prediction the other day to TJ, and I'm like, I think Russell Wilson has played his last game as a Seahawk. So what I want to know from both of you, you know, either one you can take, is there going to be a point in the season where the Seahawks are so far out of it just because the division that they're in, and they're already 2-4, that they just shut him down, and perhaps next year, where there's already rumors flying that he may not come back. So is Russell Wilson done in Seattle? So Jake, Stacey, either one of you can take
Stacey goes first because okay. I want to ask Jake a follow up because of his ties directly to Russell. But...
No, I don't think so. I think I really, Pete Carroll was one of the last coaches to even sit starters in the preseason. So while I think that it's certainly possible that Russell Wilson might be in his last season with Seattle, like I haven't ruled that out. I don't think that even if they lose their next four, that they just shut him down, or that at any point in the season they shut him down. I don't think it's in Russell Wilson's nature. And I also don't think it's in Pete Carroll's nature. They're both pretty similar in their will to win and kind of their stubbornness sometimes. So I cannot see them just shutting him down.
So sometimes I have to make sure I separate church from state here.
Oh yeah. Well, we're going to push you though.
With Russ and some people, we, you know,
hey, you're not on your truth. Show though. Don't forget. You're not.
We, give us the truth. Give us the truth.
No contractual obligations here, Jay. Come on.
That's right. You know, sometimes people assume that I'm speaking, you know, for Russell in a lot of ways. And there are times that I know things very intimately in terms of, you know, his contract negotiations. And things of those of that nature and all that. But, you know, honestly, when it comes to this, I think it's extremely unpredictable. I think it would be foolish to sit here and say that, yeah, it's a done deal and nothing's going to happen, because, you know, quite frankly, you don't know what they're thinking as an organization either. Right. I mean, the way I view this organization right now, and, you know, we kind of talked about it on our show today, is that you might come to the realization, and you might be in denial or have been in denial for years because of the possibilities of the greats, the stars that you have on their team. If they play well and they play up to their potential, they're Super Bowl team. They're Super Bowl caliber players on this roster, but they don't have a competitive roster from top to bottom that makes them a legitimate Super Bowl contender year in and year out. They're a playoff contender. And so when you're spinning your tires in the mud and you're doing this for multiple years, and then, you know, you have difficult conversations and difficult things happen this last off season, you know, it sparks some conversation. It sparks change in thought possibly. And, you know, I'll say this from, you know, that perspective, who knows if Pete Carroll and John Schneider look at this at the end and say, gosh, we're stuck in the mud and there's no way for us to improve. And the only way for us to do that is to make some drastic decisions. You know, Russell Wilson could look at this and say, I don't know the direction of our organization right now, and therefore I want to go. Or there's also the very real possibility that they catch fire when Russell comes back, all is well, and the optimism is extremely high and through the roof that they can be a better team this next season, or they make the playoffs this year. Like, I think that we're at a pretty close point that we're going to get those answers here pretty soon, but we're not quite there yet. And Stacey and I really think that this next game, the Saints game, is really that game that you're going to point to and say, this is a real defining moment
for the franchise. That's why I picked up the Saints defense this year, because I think I know which way it's going to go. Saints defense is going to kill them. All right, well, hold on.
Let me ask one question. Okay, go. Well, you know, you mentioned Geno, right? And I have a bit of a soft spot for the poor kid, right? Like, he hasn't played in, like, how many years, basically? And he hasn't looked that bad until the last couple minutes, where he always seems to lose the ball and whatever. But,
well, Tyler Lockett slipped on him. Come on.
No, but that, fair enough. But I mean, like, I was watching that game even in the third or fourth quarter, and they were running the ball, running the ball, running the ball. But at some point, do you not think that they should actually like give him an opportunity to run with it a little bit, like throw the ball, like use his attributes that he's good at, instead of just when you keep running the ball, you're almost telling him like, listen, you're not good enough. So mentally, yeah. I'm thinking Gino's probably thinking like, well, they don't trust me. So he's got no confidence anyway. He probably doesn't have any confidence coming into the game, but it probably got worse throughout the game. Like, okay, we ran the ball like, what, 10, 12 times in a row to get a touchdown. They'd refuse to let him throw the ball. So, I mean, at some point, you got to let Pete Carroll got to decide like, hey, listen, this is my guy for the next 2, 3, 4 weeks. Let's give him some confidence, right? I mean, I don't know. Like,
you would think that way, but in Pete Carroll's mind, the way that he wants to go is he wants to say that, hey, I'm going to infuse confidence in my offensive line. I'm going to infuse confidence in our running game because that's my philosophical belief. The only person that's really made me think otherwise has been Russell Wilson, has pushed back on me a little bit in that aspect. And so I think that when it comes to Geno Smith and that conversation, I agree with you. Geno Smith is more than capable of you know, trusting him and allowing him to, you know, throw the ball. That doesn't mean I want them and believe that he can do the same things and have the same pressure on him that Russell Wilson obviously can take. That's not it at all, but there does need to be that element of balance. And you might find yourself looking at the Saints game as the perfect example of that. Pete Carroll has declared to the world, what their intentions are on Monday night. That is to run the football and to do it often and to cram it down their throat no matter what. The Saints are the second best run defense in the league. So we'll see if they can, they're making no bones about it. We'll see if the Saints, shut them down and then what. So I think that you're gonna see to that follow-up question kind of some of the fallacies of that plan if you're taking Geno Smith's confidence away or not allowing him to have a major role within the offense. I think all of that is very, very real.
Stacey, let me ask you something based off of what Jake said earlier, how this team is more of like competing for the playoffs and not really competing for a Super Bowl. In your mind, what does this team lack in terms of being a Super Bowl contender, top to bottom?
I want to say depth, but sometimes that doesn't really matter. Like, you could argue that there are many teams in the league. I mean, Green Bay might be one of them that at certain positions don't have a ton of depth, but they have a superstar there, so it doesn't matter. And I think that with Seattle, they have some superstars that haven't been performing, so that's one of the problems, right? Is you have Bobby Wagner, who is a Hall of Famer. Has he been playing like one completely every time this year? I don't think so. Like, I think there have been some times when maybe he's making up for mistakes. Same with Jamal Adams. Like, saying that these guys haven't been performing up to their own standard is not the same as saying that they aren't incredibly talented, but it's the truth. And so they have superstars at positions that just haven't been already hitting. And then not only that, but they don't have cheap stars. Like, I really do think that, like, sometimes with those Super Bowl teams, like, it's one of two ways. You maybe you're the Rams, you sell out, you trade first round picks, you get all these guys, or you tap into free agency and preferably don't overspend, but you find guys that end up taking off. And then the third option is you are bad enough that in 1 year or 2 years, because you're far below 500, you can hit in the draft and get someone great. So, like, what makes the 49ers a Super Bowl team? One of the first people you would have talked about is Nick Bosa, right? That defensive line. Well, that's a defensive line full of first rounders that they had because they were fourth in the division for so long. Mm-hmm. The Seahawks don't want to do that, and that's fine. But they haven't been able to capitalize on that talent. And then I'll tack on lastly that a team similarly that wasn't ever getting a top 10 pick was New England. But New England was able to capitalize on Brady, and Seattle hasn't been able to capitalize with Wilson. So it's kind of been this weird double-edged sword of like, hey, you get the best thing that every team wants, but you got to make the most of it because otherwise you're not going to get these other shots.
Are any of these rumors with Cam Newton, like what's going on there? We keep hearing these things that Cam's obviously now he's finally come out on Twitter online and said, I'm vaccinated and ready to go. I mean, if he came in, let's just say, would he help this team more than Geno's helping this team while Russell Wilson's out? Jake?
No.
He would Jake not. Doesn't think I mean, so. I think he might.
In an extended period of time, I think it could work out. Yeah. And if Pete Carroll, and let's just throw this scenario out there. If we knew today that Russell Wilson was going to be out 2 months and Pete Carroll wants to run the football, Cam Newton might be a great option because Cam Newton can run the football. Cam Newton can do some unique things that you could do the zone read with him legitimately. You can add some quarterback runs into what they're doing, and it could be more of a dynamic running attack, truly. But the truth is that Cam Newton's shoulder is not the same. Cam Newton is not the same quarterback. And so, you know, what role and what scenario are we talking here? Because in a couple weeks, while you're trying to buy some time to get Russell Wilson back, Geno Smith's your best option. You don't need to go down that road with Cam and try to get him up to speed with this offense. I just don't think it's a recipe for success, and I don't think it's worth all the craziness that would ensue. Not off the field. I'm talking on the field, the prep to get him ready to go.
Yeah.
And all that. I just don't think it would be worth it. And quite frankly, I don't think Cam would waste his time. I don't think he's there to go into any situation just to be there a couple weeks.
Okay. I think I agree with you. And I know Nav wanted to ask that question, but Cam's also, let's just be honest. He's a bit of a distraction too at this point. He just comes with too much media attention outside the market more than you'd like to see for a team that's focused, you know, in-house and whatnot. But anyways, I want to take it back to one thing. I know Nav had a follow-up, but I wanted to ask you about Russell. One last thing I wanted to ask you. This offseason was obviously well-documented, right? And after everything, after the dust settled, you know, he was back, he was training with the team and committed to the team and everything was, you know, all good and whatnot. But I want to ask you, like, specifically in whatever you can say or speak to in regards to Russell's actual anger with the lack of commitment to the offensive line and how he's the most sacked quarterback almost his entire career. Like, how pissed off was he? I know Russell's not the type of guy to blow up. You know, he's very composed. It's in his nature to stay that way. But just talk to us about the actual frustration that he had with the lack of commitment to him, the investment in him.
Yeah, I think a lot of it got overblown, and part of it is his own fault in terms of not being clearer in how he said it. You could tell when he had that conversation, it's like, do I dip my toe in this water right now? All right, I'm going for it, you know, and it didn't come out quite the way that I think that he would have liked to have articulated if he could have run it back. But honestly, he wasn't wrong in anything that he said, in the sense that there were two opportunities moving forward into this offseason to improve on the offensive line, center and guard. And you would like to see from an offensive perspective, from an elite quarterback, that the franchise is going to do what they can to make improvements, legitimate improvements to the offensive line so that they can be dynamic. And if you're going to put this on the offense, and you're going to say, hey, Russell Wilson, $35 million, and this is an offensive-driven team, and it's on you to take us to the promised land. All right, well, then let's invest the resources to make that happen. And, oh, by the way, give me what every other elite quarterback in this league has been given without question, which is elite protection. This had come from, you know, years and years of dealing with not even below average. We're talking about some of the worst in the league in terms of offensive line play. And so this wasn't a personal shot at anybody on that offensive line or anybody that's played for him over the years. He loves those guys.
He's just trying to protect his body. Come on.
it's part of that, but it's also, okay, we haven't changed our approach to the offseason in 5 years, 6 years. And again, that same thing I talked about, just spinning our tires in the mud. And where's going to be the change of approach? Where's going to be the difference? And how are we going to get there? And I think that ultimately frustration comes out, one, as you're sitting there watching the Super Bowl unfold before your eyes when you are – I mean, guys, I don't think you understand how competitive Russell is, but how much he puts into this game. I mean, this guy is up. I kid you not. I know some people – like, I've done it myself. Hey, I gained 15 pounds this offseason. I worked out so hard, and really I gained 10 and I felt pretty good about it, but hey, I'm going to add 5 more pounds. Like, Russell Wilson gets up at 4:30 in the morning every single morning, and he's dedicated by the minute to what he's going to do. Like, that's how passionate he is about this. And some, you know, like the whole thing, the pregame deal. everybody's making fun of him, and I get it. It looks ridiculous, right? It looks like it's a show.
Was it even legal?
We don't need to talk about that. Yeah. We don't need to get into the details. But that's who he is. Guys, that's who he is, 1,000%. And he believes in that moment that pregame ritual is like the key to his success, to keep him sharp, to keep him focused, and he's going to do it with 100% commitment. So if he's doing that every single day, he wants to know that they are doing everything that they can. And that's a silly thing to say. Of course they want to win, but what are we doing to change? What are we doing to improve? And am I hearing the same answers that I've heard for years? And I think that's ultimately where it kind of came down to. And so that's how it all came about.
I think reading between the lines, what you're saying for this offseason coming up is if they're still stuck in the mud, bye-bye Russ. But anyways, we'll stop the Russ stuff now. We'll give you
I got one quick follow-up to Stacey. As a jersey will show, I love Aaron Rodgers, love the Green Bay Packers.
Yes.
Two superstar quarterbacks, both in a similar situation. Who handled the offseason better, Stacey? Wilson didn't come out and say, hey, I want out. He said, yeah, I want these changes and need some help. You know, if you need to trade me, these are the teams I would go to. Whereas Aaron Rodgers straight up, even in a press conference when he showed up to training camp, said, these are the issues I have. 1, 2, 3, 4. That's why I want out. So who handled the offseason better? Who was more professional and which way do you think was a better way to go?
I think, it is. I think, here's the thing. I think Wilson did on paper, but the way that both men's comments were embraced was wildly different. And that's it. Part of it is because Aaron Rodgers had over, maybe not throughout his career, but certainly the last couple seasons. And it starts with like that Seth Wickersham article, but then there's other stuff. He's kind of established himself as like, look, I'm Aaron Rodgers. Like, what I say goes. I got McCarthy out of here. I'll get someone else out of here too. And so he's kind of established himself as like, I'm the boss around here. Deal with it. And Green Bay loves him. And
he doesn't mind being the villain.
No, he doesn't at all. And people have kind of let him do that. Like he's done like a little bit of a heel turn where it's like he's kind of embraced it. And I think people are fine with this level of kind of like pretentiousness that he almost makes likable in a way.
He's like the Rock. He's like the Rock when he became heel, still beloved by everybody, right?
Some people don't like it, but I'm like, you know what? I feel like it makes sense. It fits. So when he said those things, when he was doing that, like if over half the other quarterbacks in the league do that, I would say most other quarterbacks in the league, people are going to be like, what is this guy doing? What a jerk. And then with Russell Wilson, really all he said were those comments. Like that's really all he said. But he had this very clean image leading up to that people who were already questioning, like, is Russ getting a little too Hollywood, just were very quick to pounce and think he was being very selfish.
Okay. So let's ask one last division question real quick. I just want to hear your thoughts on two things. One, who do you think is going to win the division? Two, are the Arizona Cardinals being disrespected still?
Oh, man. Okay, so it's going to answer both of those questions in my answer right here. But I will say, number one, the Arizona Cardinals 100% are being disrespected right now. What they've done is for real. And it's been very, very impressive. As I told Stacey, the Browns game is something that I'm definitely looking at. I'm more so looking towards that Green Bay game. But if Myles Garrett had played and they did what they did, I'd be like, okay, this is a no-brainer. The fact that he was out doesn't mean that they weren't a good defense, but I think obviously that guy is incredible. Mm-hmm. So you didn't get the Browns at full strength necessarily, but they did a great job with Cliff Kingsbury out. But even with that being said, there's something about this group that I don't trust, and I think a big part of it is Cliff Kingsbury for me. I just, until he proves it, I just have a hard time believing in Cliff Kingsbury. There's a lot that I like on the roster, but Cliff's got to prove it. He hasn't been that guy in his career. He hasn't gotten this team through the tough moments. And that's not to say he can't. He just hasn't. He hasn't done it before. And there's something to that. Whereas I believe that ultimately the Rams are going to be the team that win the division. They figure out some of the defensive issues that they currently have. And quite frankly, their offense is really, really good and dynamic. And they've been there before, even with Matthew Stafford not being a part of it. I trust Sean McVay way more than I do Cliff Kingsbury.
But how close is that like call that you're making? Is it like, is it definitive? You believe it, or you think that it's going to come down to the wire last couple games, maybe the last week of the season?
I believe it now, but okay. Let's say if Arizona goes out there and completely controls the game against Green Bay and takes it to them, I'm probably going to change my answer. Okay. So that's where I'm at right now.
Stacey, what do you think?
I'm going Arizona winning the division. I do think they're being disrespected. And I think if you had, it's that same thing. If you had Sean McVay leading this exact same Arizona Cardinals team, they'd be a Super Bowl favorite. I think a lot of it is Cliff Kingsbury was entering the season on the hot seat. And so people are like, well, is this you or is it your players just finding something and maybe they'll get injured? And also having some older players that people had written off, right? But yeah, I think it's the Cardinals division to lose right now, not just because of the record, but I have some serious questions about the Rams defense.
Like what?
The drop off this year has been pretty notable. I think they've let some explosive plays go. Obviously, Aaron Donald's still phenomenal. Ramsey's still phenomenal, but they've had more questions with their secondary than they did last year. And I don't think that their front seven has been great enough to make up for it.
Yeah, you've seen some teams still take advantage of the deep throws and mid throws. Yeah. But anyways, great football talk there. We're going to switch it a little bit here as we wrap up. I really appreciate all the insights, though, Jake and Stacey. Stacey, we're used to hearing your wonderful insights almost every week when we were on the show radio there. But Jake, first time having you on. Really appreciate everything that you were able to say. And even the way you weren't able to say certain things, but we could read between the lines, I think, personally. But
take them for what you will. But
I'm trying to get your body language on that one right now.
Hold up. Are we saying Russell Wilson is going to be a Green Bay Packer next year? Is that what you're telling me?
They're going to switch.
They're going to switch.
Jason LaCaforna actually said that today in an article, and I saw that and I was like, okay, we're at the most ridiculous level possible in this conversation right now. Makes zero sense. There's no way that happens.
Also, like, Pete and John being like, we're so tired of a quarterback with his own opinion. Let's get Aaron Rodgers in here. Like, that's not going to go over.
All right. So let's have some fun as we wrap this show up. I asked each of you guys individually to send five things about the other person that you think people don't know about them. Five things. Okay. Now, okay. I'm just going to leave it like that and have you guys guess, because beyond the five that I'll share, we might get some more out of this, right? So, okay. So whoever wants to go first, maybe ladies first, right? We'll be gentlemen here.
Okay.
So Stacey, what do you think Jake said? Oh, by the way, whoever gets the most points, we'll go five rounds. Whoever gets the most points is going to get a prize. And that prize is going to be a t-shirt of either Aaron Rodgers or Drew Brees. Cause you know,
Nice.
We don't like the Seahawks.
Great, great.
We'll send you a large cast hat too. So what is the first thing you think Jake said about you that people don't know?
I think he probably made fun of my food opinions and said I have horrible taste in food or something like that.
I'm going to give you a point. He said, you punish yourself with horrifically healthy food.
Yes.
Point for Stacey. Exactly. Ding. Okay.
Yes.
Jake, what is one thing Stacey said about you that you think people don't know?
That I don't know.
That you think the other people don't know about you, that one thing that she said.
Maybe that I yell a lot. Is that one?
Everyone knows that.
No,
everyone can hear that every
day. One nothing, Stacey. Okay.
I'm crushing this.
Round two, Stacey. Go ahead.
I am assuming that he wrote that I am a double major. I brag about it a lot.
Nope, that's not one of them.
Nope. Dang it.
Jake.
Everyone's very well aware of that.
Everyone in the office, like sales staff. Did I mention I'm a double major?
Let's see. I'm trying to think.
Maybe something that goes against your image.
That goes against my image.
Yeah, that's probably accurate, Stacey. Based on
what goes against my image. Every now and then I can be known to give in a little dig here or there to Stacey. No,
I think you'd be too soft to each other.
You got,
it's really like what, like Stacey said, it's something that, you know, obviously she knows about you, but other people don't, because it's something that you don't like to share, but you're going to have
too competitive for this, but I have no clue.
Okay.
Okay. All
right. So it's still 1-0 Stacey after two rounds, three rounds left. Okay. Stacey, round
that,
three. Go ahead.
That people, okay. So if he was pretty mean, that people might not know, he might say, I work in sports, but have no athletic talent and can't throw or catch a ball.
No, just going through here. No, that wasn't one of them.
It. So very, it's very true. Oh, that was a self goal and not even a point.
You're just promoting yourself now. Well, the opposite of that. I mean,
Jake, I'll give you a hint for yours. It's something that you did in the past.
Yes, that's a good hint.
Something that I did in the past. Oh, yeah. Are you talking about my suspension?
Yes.
School? Nice.
You got suspended once for making a counterfeit parking pass in high school.
Yes. Yes. Yep.
A counterfeit parking pass. That's pretty smart. I like that actually.
Yeah.
It's almost
it worked out great until I got caught. It was phenomenal.
That was more clever than, you still got caught. So not clever at all. We were talking about Evander Kane, who was making the fake vaccine pass. Did you hear about that?
No, I didn't.
Evander Kane in the NHL made a fake vaccine pass and he got suspended 21 games for that. So the funniest part about that is he's a very he's been well documented to be having a gambling addiction.
Yeah.
So the NHL gave him 21 games. You get that? So
it's pretty funny.
That's awesome.
All right, round four, Stacey. So you're still up. Oh, it's 1-1 now. It's 1-1.
Can I get a hint?
Yeah, okay, Jake, give her a hint.
Okay. This is a conspiracy that you have in terms of the office being against you.
Oh, I think that I think that people are putting soap in the coffee. Because there's always
bubbles. Ding.
Stacey literally every day comes in and says, I think people are putting soap in my coffee. And it's not just funny little comment. She talks about it for 10 minutes. She can't get over it. And then
I walk in every morning and I go, there's a lot of bubbles in the coffee today. I think people are washing it out and they're leaving soap in it. I had the same thing where I was I was kind of rude one day on accident. I was in a hurry and I was feeling kind of frustrated with a barista at Starbucks, who's already kind of weird. And I got to work and I was I think he poisoned my coffee.
I read that and I was that is just hilarious. Who thinks that?
So many bubbles.
With the people that they work with. Okay. So what do we have? 2-1 for Stacey now.
Yes.
End of round four here, Jake.
I have yours.
Do you want to drop a hint? Yeah.
I'll drop a hint. Jake, one of yours is, I have a TV related thing, yes, and a food related thing in there for you.
And a music related thing.
And a music related thing.
Okay. Food. She has said that I have been known to grab food
You're already wrong.
I'm already wrong. Okay. Is it,
wait, grab food? Like what?
You don't get multiple guesses. So,
okay. All right.
Well, we're going down to the final round. It's 2-1, Stacey. This is for the win, Stacey. No more hints.
Hints. Okay. Something that Jake said about me that
Try to give you a hint. I'll try to give you a hint.
Okay.
Actually, that's hard to give hints for this one. Let's see here. You know what? No, because I think this is going to give it away. So I can't really give you hints on these ones.
Okay.
Just go for it, because you're up 2-1.
Okay, so something that people wouldn't know about me. I'm assuming it's not anything super nice.
With the languages of the world? I don't know. That's a bad hint, but.
Oh, is it Italian?
What about that? No, that's not it. That wasn't it. The one I was going after. The one that I was going after is that you have a terrible British accent. Not really language related, but I didn't want to give you the hint. So now, we're going to have to hear it right now. Go ahead. Give us a little snippet.
I was doing a little British schoolboy today. It's so bad.
She's doing that live on the radio.
On the
Yeah. Someone was like, Stacey, can you read the whole segment in this accent? Oh, and I was like, can you read the whole segment in this accent? Yeah.
That's not even remotely close to being British.
Horrific. It's so bad.
Okay, last round, Jake.
Governor.
I got two hints for you, Jake. because you know, Ty will give, send you both t-shirts, right? But
all right, perfect.
Music, you're a fan of somebody's music that nobody
Justin
knows.
Bieber.
Yes. Okay. Jake is a Justin Bieber fan.
Yes.
Believe it or not.
Yes.
Because I actually,
that's his guy.
I actually can't believe that at all, because he's, I think, I mean, as a Canadian musician, I just don't think he's terrible. I think he's terrible. Like, it's just,
you think he's terrible?
I just,
his last album's not bad.
The way he's changed his kind of like personality to like kind of,
well, I do agree with that.
He's kind of like acting more like, I guess, I don't know what to call it, just trying to appropriate hip hop culture more, maybe, but
yeah.
America can have them. America,
yes,
can have
that's
them.
How we feel. Me and
Jake would love that.
Wait, I don't know about know? All that, but
anyways,
do we get to know the rest?
Oh yeah, so I'll just go ahead and read the list. So this is what Stacey said about Jake, and some of these you're going to repeat here. You're a Justin Bieber fan. You hate salsa. Which is very
not
weird.
True. She said. I've evolved. I've changed my opinion. It depends.
Oh, so you like
on
salsa now?
Salsa.
Okay.
Yes, it depends on the salsa now.
The counterfeit parking pass suspension.
Yeah.
You're a big fan of Love is Blind and The Bachelor.
Yes.
But you pretend to not like reality TV.
Well, those are the only two reality TV shows that I watch. Okay.
He makes fun of me regularly for watching a lot of reality TV.
I think The Bachelor is the worst thing that ever hit TV, by the way. So
I would rather watch Jersey Shore reruns than watch The Bachelor.
Well, love Jersey Shore. That's fantastic.
I got roped into it because my wife watches it. She loves it. And then as I watched it, or as I tried to be like, oh, I don't like it, I found myself being really into it. And then it was no turning back. So
my mom is into it. Like deeply into it, and my sister and my mom would be like watching it and be like, TJ, you should come watch and see how these men act. I'm like, what, fake?
No, Jake will like talk to you about it. Like, I'll come into the office, into the studio, and he'll be like, I mean, you think it's going to be Kevin S.
And the last one was, you got to hang out with Drew Brees.
Yes,
but question that, Stacey. How does he not talk about that? You're saying nobody knows about that. That doesn't make
that
any
one
sense.
Was me pandering to you.
Oh, thank you very much.
But
okay,
but also that
much.
Is true. That is true. Jake, you hung out with him on more than one occasion, right? Because you went to a baseball game with him, but then you also were like training with him.
Yeah, went to a Padres game, and then this off season, Drew came and hung out with us while Russ and I were training, and it was awesome, man. I mean, Drew is my like. There's a pantheon of quarterbacks for me, and Drew Brees is like, he's
up there.
So
he's the reason I became I became a fan of Drew Brees when he was with the Chargers, and then I just followed him to the Saints, and that's why I'm a Saints fan now. But you know what's funny?
I think that's all the time we have for today.
Listen, it's funny how things are coming full circle, because there's another quarterback that might bring me back to the Chargers. And he's a similar type of gunslinger. It's Justin Herbert. I love the way he plays, and I might have to follow him now. But with Jake on Stacey, it was she thinks that people are putting soap in her coffee. Said that already. She believes she believes she's the most popular person in any situation she walks into.
Yes.
Terrible facts. British accent.
Facts only.
If she
facts
doesn't know this was a compliment. If she doesn't know something in depth, she studies like crazy to make sure she's got it down.
Oh, that's nice.
Tremendous work ethic. Nice. And then the punishing yourself with horrifically healthy food. So either way, thank you guys so much for this episode. You know, I really enjoy talking to you, Jake, and Stacey. We always enjoy your presence. You're a hoot. That's a Canadian expression, by the way.
Hoot nap.
We'll have
She's
to do this again.
Try to
sometime.
Do it in America now. And it's,
hey, there
it's
you
not
go.
Go well.
But we're gonna have to try to do this again after Russell Wilson is traded from Seattle. So I'm kidding.
I might be waiting a couple years, but you got it. We'll be back.
All right. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Thank you, Jake Heaps. Thank you, Stacey Jo Ross. And good night.